Sisi, and thanks, Rachel. Thanks also to Brian for playing the violin. It was very nice. I hope you noticed. It was very nice. I was sitting next to him, so I can't not notice. He's like, But thank God. Thank God for all who would contribute and be a part of the work here. Okay, well, let's pray.
Our Father in heaven, we pray and ask you for wisdom to help us to fathom your word, to understand it, to draw out lessons that can be real and applicable. And we pray for your help as we take the time now to read your word all over again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, well, let's take some time to look at this. Okay, today we look at Luke chapter 7. Let's turn to it first. Okay. Now we want to talk about this idea in Luke chapter 7. This whole idea of faith. Okay? Now, faith is one of those things that the Lord really wanted to help people to find. I think we see this quite a bit. Okay? Whether it is at Sunday school or you study the book of John, we see this in the Gospels. All the time, the Lord Jesus was trying to help people find this faith. Okay? So that's what we see a whole lot. Okay, certainly one of his goals was to help people to find faith. Okay, now as we consider this whole idea of faith, I just want to help you to take a look at this. Okay, now what is so important about faith? And there are few things in our Christian life and that is really more important than this word called faith. Okay, why is it important? On how many levels? Number one, it's one of the most basic things. Without that basic faith, okay, there is no starting point, right? So sometimes, you know, along the way, some of you also are searching, looking for this faith. And if you can't find this faith real, you can't begin. Make sense? That's how critical it is. So when the Lord was preaching and teaching, what was he trying to do? He was trying to help people find this faith. Is the most basic of all. You can't even begin. Okay, so we talk about beginning point. Okay, now, I've got to begin with faith. I've got to carry on. If I want to talk about cultivating, if I want to talk about developing my faith, I need that too. And you'll be surprised how many areas of our Christian life involves this thing called faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Straight away, the Lord tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, how do you even relate to God? You can't. To develop your life, your Christian life, you really need to look at this idea called faith. So you need to begin, you need to develop, and when you go through the challenges of your life, as you will. Okay, you hear from Sisi about setbacks. You hear from Rachel, 3 weeks in, she wants to give up already. That's very fast, 3 weeks in. Okay, but you see, challenges, setbacks, we talked about it last week, right? About how when you go through things like that, you need that faith to be intact. Right, Rachel? Yes, is your faith still intact? Okay, she really struggled. She said, no, I can't believe he scolded me, vulgarities. Well, it happens, right? And you got to expect that. All who want to be teachers, you got to be tough as nails, right? So they scold at you, you scold back at them. No, you don't scold back at them. You get sacked. You don't scold back at them, but you take it, you know. You got to be really tough. Especially you go to some schools that, every school is a good school, but some schools that they will scold vulgarities at you, but it's there. You need the faith. You really need faith, right? All the problems that you all go through in your family, in your school, trying to get the result you want, applying for uni, finish uni, then work, got more problems. Hey, you need your faith intact. Begin, you need faith. Right? If you don't have faith, we can't begin. We got to start with faith. We continue on with faith. We got to look at challenges with faith intact. See, we need faith. However you want to look at it, you need faith. Wherever it is that you look, whichever aspect, even when it comes to serving God, even the matter of, as we were talking about just now, the gifts aspect, also you need faith. Faith is everywhere. You need this thing called faith, right? It is one of the most important things to have in your life. And the Lord Jesus sought to do to impart this faith right from the beginning in his ministry. And that tells you just how important this really, really is. Okay? Now, I want you to take some time to just engage with this idea a little bit. Talk among yourselves, okay? And talk about two things, okay? One is, what are the struggles that you have in your with reference to this idea of faith, okay? Number two is, how can you find this faith real in your own life? Okay, it's challenging, very challenging questions, but just take time to talk to each other and let's see what comes up. I just want to hear from you a little bit, okay? What are the struggles that you face with this word called faith, okay? And the second part of it, how can you find this faith real? Okay, how have I found this faith real? How can I find this faith so much more real? Okay, so take time to talk among each other and then we'll hear from you, okay? Okay, go ahead. A bit more, okay. Okay, but let's hear from you. Anything from the back? Okay, disconnect. Okay. Okay. Between life and faith. Okay. Right. Okay. Why do you say that? Just find it hard to apply? Yes. Okay. Application. Okay. Right. Okay. You smile very big. What did I do? If I can roll my small eyes, I will. But I can't. Okay. Okay, no, but it's an important point. It's an important point. Okay, go ahead. Okay, what God wants us to do. Okay, right. The will of God in your life.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. The will of God. Okay, yeah, go ahead. And then, who else? What else? What else? Okay, overseas. Okay, your own circumstances. Okay. Right. Okay, can. Okay, what else? What else? Try any other group. Apply. That's right. What's the need for it? Sure. Okay. Understand. Life is easy. Circumstances, easy or hard. Okay. Okay, what else? Go ahead. Okay. Okay. Right. One word that's coming out a lot is this word called application. Okay. That's true. It's very important. Okay. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I think for us, the struggle is with those faith. You don't have confidence in the power of faith.
Okay.
And the second one is
that's part of the application. Yeah.
About having the consciousness of faith throughout.
Okay. Okay.
Like all that we do, we cannot do it. How do we remember the memory of faith and fear?
Okay, understand. Okay, yeah, go ahead. And then that's it, right? Okay, good. Now I just wanted to take time to hear from you. Okay, why is it that, one key word is, of course, application. And if we want to take some time to look at this story of the centurion, this story is very much about application of faith. Okay, but I want to help you to just see the whole thing rather than just one story by itself. Okay, look at the book of Luke. What is it that Jesus was trying to do this whole time? Right? And analyze it for a little bit. Because in Luke chapter 7, what does the Lord say? Right? Let's just take a look. Luke chapter 7. Now in verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith. You notice what he said? He didn't just say that I found such great faith. He said, I have not found such great faith, not in Israel. He was saying two things. One, he was saying that the centurion, he had found such great faith in the centurion. Right? What was he saying? The flip side, that he didn't find it in the rest. Okay, so this is what he was saying. In the centurion, such great faith. But for everyone else, it wasn't there. And this is why what the question that we want to ask ourselves. You know, we talk about such great faith and we all hope to have such a faith. The question is, how can we find it? And you see, the Lord, when he set out in his ministry, was seeking to help people to find this faith.
Okay, four things I just want to share with you this afternoon, okay, for you to consider. Number one, this is what the Lord was trying to do. Okay, number one, He spoke right from the beginning. He was trying to impart faith. Everything He did, whether it was the message, the preaching that He did, whether it was the teaching from God's word, what was the point of all these things? What was the point? The point was actually to impart faith to people. This is what Paul said too in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 5. He said about the Corinthians that his preaching, what was the goal of his preaching? That your faith might be in the power of God. At the end of the day, why do you all come for sessions and messages and teaching and so on and so forth? What should it do for you? It should actually be imparting faith to you. And that's what he was doing. He was trying to impart faith through what? The teaching of God's word. Every time he healed somebody, it wasn't just for the sake of the person healed. It was for the sake of everyone watching, including his disciples. Right? They were meant to, with every experience, have their faith increased all the time. So what was he trying to do? The Lord was trying to impart that faith. The Lord was trying to help them increase that faith all the time, with every message preached, with every experience of God's power. Okay? And we read about the power of God. If you were there and you watch a leper being healed with a touch, that is the power of God. And with every such experience, their faith was meant to grow. What did he say? I have not found such great faith. He found it in the centurion and he didn't find it in everyone else, including his disciples. Right? With every message preached, with every healing that they observed, that faith should have been growing and increasing. And yet, it wasn't there. Can you see the issue over here? So this is what the Lord was doing the whole time, trying to impart, trying to help them to increase in faith. Yes? Now, he's going to show them with the centurion what faith looks like in application. Or you can say in action. What is faith in action? Right? He's going to help them to see. So some of you have raised just now this idea of application. Okay, don't know how to apply faith. Right? So this is what he was trying to see. Number one, how can we find this faith real? This is what the Lord was doing. This was his approach. Number one, he's going to impart. How? Through the word of God. Through the teaching and preaching of the word of God. Through a demonstration of his power again and again and again. Now, faith was supposed to be there. Right? You take time to ponder about our own lives. How many messages we hear? How often we hear and read the word of God? You know, every single time should cause your faith to increase. That's part of the plan of how to find that faith for you. Can you see? So every single time, that faith should be there. Every time we see God's power in our lives being demonstrated, that faith should also be growing. I mean, take for example, Rachel. So this is 4 years of university, right? Over these 4 years, what have you seen? Have you seen the Lord's power in your life? Have you seen Him providing? Have you seen Him sustaining, helping? Have you seen His presence there? Can you see all these things? Very timely, always very timely, how the Lord's providence is there. That should help us to see His power in our life. The whole experience of it all should help our faith to grow. Can you see? And that faith that grows must then be applied into life. Right? And so this is where the centurion comes in. The centurion, what he did was that he had a faith. When we look at this phrase called such great faith, if we break this phrase down a little bit, right, we see here, this word is actually a word that points to what we call, when it says such great faith, in a way that the word great is not actually there. It's really such faith. Such a kind of faith. And if we understand this phrase properly, it really speaks of this word called quality.
You see, the proof of faith is in application. Not in how you think or how you feel or what you know. The proof of faith is in how you apply. And the centurion was here challenged to apply that faith. Okay? That quality of faith must come through. Right? So that was what he had. So that was the centurion, and it's not told for us exactly how or why he arrived at this kind of faith. Only that he exhibited, at this point of time, exhibited a quality of faith that was really, really good, really high. And so Jesus could point to this faith and say, this is truly such great faith. Okay, what made his faith of such a quality? Right? Two things it was defined by. One, it was defined by humility. It's a wonderful sense of humility. And so the people, the elders told him, you are, you know, they told the Lord Jesus that he's deserving of help because he has done many wonderful things for them. Okay? His approach is not deserving. His approach is, I am not worthy. Different. Okay? And this is what he was, humility that was there. And was obviously seen. Okay? What else? There's humility, personal, and yet, on the other hand, confidence in who the Lord Jesus is, in his word, right? And in his power, his authority and power that was there. So this is what we see, a quality of faith which the Lord could point to, right? And say, look, this is what faith should be in application. Ultimately, is in how we apply. See, when we go through challenges and our prayers become demands, and we start to really, you know, become frustrated and upset. Why is the Lord not helping me? Why am I going through such hard times? And so on and so forth. What is that? It reflects the quality of our faith. The humility, or lack thereof. The confidence in the Lord, or lack thereof. Can you see? This is what the centurion had. Ultimately, it was application. Okay? And this is what it is, right? And then, fourthly, what would Jesus do? He would point to examples of people. Centurion, for example. Sometimes he would point to, the Syrophoenician woman was also commended for faith, right? He would point to examples to give inspiration. You mean a Gentile person can, a centurion, can be commended for that faith? Now that is outstanding. Okay, four things he sought to do to help people find faith real. One, he sought to impart. Two, he sought to increase. Three, he sought to help them see what faith is like when it is applied. Four, he sought to point to good examples that really are meant to spur the disciples to seek this faith all the more. You see? So we're taking a look at this story of the centurion. Not from the perspective of the centurion alone, but from the perspective of a disciple. What should you be learning? You begin your journey, right? And you should have that faith imparted to you. Okay, but let's take a look. He wanted to impart this faith to people, and yet how many could respond? The crowds could not understand. The Pharisees, the scribes, the response was really a wicked one. There was not much faith there. There was no faith there at all, very much. Only from time to time you see glimpses of it, and then it's there. He sought to impart, and yet not a whole lot of response. There should have been an increase for the disciples, particularly who followed him. There should have been an increase, and yet it was not there as much as it should have been. And so now he came to this point where he would point to the centurion and show them, look, this is how you want to apply your faith. This is the quality of faith that should be there for you. Okay? Take a look at this. This is what it is in application. And finally, examples given in order to inspire us. But you see, the whole point of it all is that this is what the Lord is doing to find this faith real. And we must find faith real. By any and every means, find this faith real. Okay? Let each time you come to church, let each word that you hear help you to grow in that faith all the time. You see what the problem is? The Lord is constantly trying. It's the same what He's doing today. He's constantly trying to help people find this faith all the time through the Word of God taught, through the power of God that is seen in your own life. All the time He's trying to help us to find that faith. But the problem, the crowds missed the point. Pharisees missed the point. You know, there were very few who actually knew how to respond to Him in faith. Right? And the second part of it, can we see our faith increasing all the time? It must. See, the danger is that after a while, as a disciple, what happens? You see, you hear, but your faith does not increase. That is the danger. The disciples were there, they could see the miracles, they could hear the word of God that was preached, but the faith does not go very far. You see the problem? How do you know how far a person's faith has gone? In application. It's the application. Watch how you take challenges. Watch how you take new circumstances. Right? Very humbling. Very humbling. 4 years, we should have learned what faith should have been. Those of you who are graduating. Correct? 4 years. And yet, here comes a challenge. How do you face it? In application, we know the quality of that faith. In application, we see our faith for what it really, really is. And the disciples, what did Jesus say? I have not found such great faith in them, but in the centurion. Can you see? And that's what we mean when we talk about application. At the end of the day, it's about application. That's how we know where our faith really, really, really lies. And that's what you want to do. I want to challenge you as a discipleship group, as a people who come and hear the Lord's word. Romans 10:17 tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Don't allow yourself to take God's word for granted. You hear it so many times that after a while, you're not growing anymore. It's just another message. Don't allow that to happen. Don't take for granted when you see God's word, God's power in your life. Don't take that for granted. If you see how He has provided, if you see how He has come into your life to give you a chance to go out there and to do well, don't take that for granted. The problem very often is that all these things are lost on the disciples, and thus they don't grow as they should. And so what does Jesus say? I have not found such great faith. Wow. So there are two aspects to this. In saying a statement like that, He was of course giving commendation to the centurion, but He was also giving everyone else a picture of their lack of faith. Do you see these things? I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What is that? Two things, not one. A main point and an implication that is glaring. The main point, the centurion had such a quality of faith. The implication, no one else had. You see the whole idea here? And as disciples, that is always the danger. Right? And when it comes down to it, when it comes down to the challenges, we can't. We just can't. The humility of it all is just not there. We all feel we are deserving of help. We all feel, I've done so much. I've put in so much effort. I've served the Lord so much. I've been faithful. Why? Why am I going through all these things? Right? When it comes down to it, that humility, that confidence in the Lord, right? It's just not there. Our confidence is very much in ourselves. Our confidence is just not there as it should be. Now that will tell you what quality is. Is it such great faith? Maybe not. Maybe we have fallen short. Okay, and finally, why does the Lord do all these things? Point to examples to inspire you. Look. Even a person like a centurion can find faith like that. You can too. What do you do? Your part is to keep on growing in your faith. Don't take for granted. Okay? What's our challenge over here as disciples? You see, we're reading this story from the perspective of a disciple rather than from the centurion alone. You see, the centurion does not have to go on to serve the Lord long term in that sense. The centurion does not have to become one day a leading person in the church. Right? So when Jesus was singling out people like that, he was not doing it so that the person can one day be. He didn't ask the centurion to follow him as a disciple. None of that happened. It was just an expression, an exhibition of what faith was all about. Nothing more is said about how he came to have that faith. That's not the point. You ask, how did the centurion come to have that faith? That's not the point. The point is that it was there, it was seen, and Jesus pointed to it. Right? As a lesson for who? Not the centurion in that sense, but for the disciples. And that's what we must catch as disciples of the Lord. We must catch ourselves. Number one, keep on growing. Let God's word become a very much a part of how you find your faith real. Let the word of God be a part of you. Right? Remember, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right? And that word hearing over there really speaks about the preached word. When the word of God is being preached, are you hearing? Are you learning from it? Faith comes by hearing. Don't let it just slip away all the time. If you allow that to happen, then the same words from the Lord will be towards us. I have not found such faith. Right? The word of God. Don't take for granted. Don't allow the heart to become hardened along the way. This is the book of Hebrews. Talks about that hardened heart. Talked about unbelief. Okay? What is there? What's the opposite of faith? The opposite of faith is unbelief. What's the root problem of unbelief? A hardened heart. A heart that doesn't learn, that is fixed in its understanding, that doesn't learn, doesn't go beyond a certain level. It's just like a stone, just like that. It doesn't learn, it doesn't grow, it's just fixed. That's a heart that is hardened. Don't allow your heart to go that way. Okay? Keep on growing as a disciple. Keep on cultivating. How do you cultivate a faith? How do you cultivate your faith in applying? Okay? You need to, right, have that faith imparted to you as a starting point. You need to keep increasing, right? That's where God's word comes in. That's where we keep on learning and growing, correct? But ultimately, how do you cultivate in applying? Apply that faith, as you have said. Apply it. How? Apply it with humility. Seek the Lord. If there are challenges in your life and you know you need help, don't demand for that help. Ask, knowing that I'm not deserving of any of these things. If I need help in my life, I'm not going around demanding things from the Lord. I'm going to ask with humility. Lord, you just help me. I need your help. I really need your help. Please help me. On the one hand, balanced. Humility, personal. Balanced out with confidence in the Lord. Yes? That confidence that, Lord, you have the power, you have the authority. I'm going to leave things in your hands. Two things at the same time. Personal humility, not worthy. At the same time, confidence in the Lord. Two things. Sometimes it almost seems so difficult to balance these two things, but they're there. And that's what makes a faith truly of quality. But the key is application. Apply it into your life, right? Let your faith become a part of your life. So if you go through challenges and you go through hardships, and you know Rachel was talking about going through the hard times in school, right? So I was sharing with her Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Look at it from the perspective of faith, and you will see things very differently. Apply that faith into your life, right? And that faith, she talks about how perseverance, character, hope. That's what we've got to find. Apply that faith. The proof is in the application. Always apply, okay? And keep on growing, right? And along the way, we look at examples that stand out to us. We can be inspired too by these people, right? And sometimes it's out of nowhere. It's not a person that you really expect. Sometimes we hear about how people give. Wow, what an encouragement. Sometimes we see somebody do something outstanding. Sometimes I see a person lead in worship, not from pastoral team, but others lead in worship and really lead well and really speak of that faith that is there. My heart is always so encouraged. What an example. What a good example of what faith should be. So the encouragement to all from the perspective, again, this story from the perspective of a disciple are these things. Number one, let God's word help you grow in that faith. Romans 10:17. Number two, watch the heart. don't end up taking things for granted. After a while, we stop learning, that's it. Our faith will also stop. The third part of it is that you keep on growing, keep on cultivating. How? In the application into your life. Okay, and that's important. So 1, 2, 3 things we can do, right? And I would like you all to consider, take time to consider this. Faith is such a critical thing. And if we examine how Jesus actually sought to help people find this faith, we'll see these things over here. What's our response? Our response must be 1, 2, 3. That's what we want to do. Okay? Now, you take time to go into your groups, and I want you all to take time to discuss these things. And if you have struggles, you have questions that you want to talk about, let me know, and I will talk to you personally. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray and thank you for this word on faith. And we pray and ask that you help us to respond to the Lord Jesus as he seeks to help us find faith real. We pray that you will help us to press on in learning your word. Help us to watch for a heart that can become hardened, that takes things for granted, that fails to learn as we should. And thirdly, help us to keep on growing as we apply our faith into all the circumstances of our life. We pray that you will teach us, instruct our hearts, help us to apply this word into our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's give an offering, then you can go into your groups.